those ideas in your head.
When Silk Degree started to take off, it wasn't a meteoric rise. It was a slow build, and it was not unlike my career. I had a band together. I was experienced on stage. I had, for the first time in my career, a manager who was very, very high-powered and able to run with a record, and hit after hit kept coming off that record. It was great. I can't say that there was any downside that had held a candle to the upside of that kind of success.
I'll be back in the studio with my guest Boz Skaggs on the 45th anniversary of Silk Degrees. Sampling a sip from the half-century musical vineyard of Texan by way of San Francisco, rhythm and blues veteran Boz Skaggs is like trying to drink from a fire hose. The sheer quantity and consistent quality can be hard to appreciate in one sitting. So today we'll spotlight one remarkable album release in February 1976 by Boz Skaggs called Silk Degrees. My bass-playing barber remembers him as Billy Skaggs of Plano, Texas. The nickname Boz came from a schoolmate at the St. Mark's Private School in Dallas, where Boz befriended another student who had the best garage band in town, the Marksman Combo. That was Steve Miller. I started by asking Boz Skaggs how they met and how many albums they eventually would do together.
Two. First two. One was called Sailor and one was Children of the Future. He was a year older than me. I was, well, you know, at that age, you sort of look up to those big guys who were a class or two ahead of you. And I don't know that I knew Steve. I didn't know him at all, of course, at first. And then we had a few activities together. It's a small school in that way. But I became aware after not too long that Steve was a musician, and I sort of gravitated toward what he was doing. I admired you know, he was a very cool guy in that school, and we got to be friends after a couple of years. We used to do some Jimmy Reed songs. Those were notable. We did, you know, like Got Me Running, Got Me Hiding, that song we did. Got My Mojo Working. We did some Bo Diddley imitations, and we did, I don't know, a couple of Chuck Berry songs, some instrumental songs, some Clover songs. Steamboat was one that comes to mind. I think we must have done Searching by the Gonna Find Her, dun, 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 maybe that one. Little bluesy things, R&B things. Steve and it was, and I both were enamored with T-Bone Walker song, so there were some instrumentals that were reminiscent of that style. And you know, there's that all that requisite material that the Texas blues guitar players have been doing. Stevie Ray and all of us have, there's a certain part of the repertoire that you just have to know to play guitar in Texas. I left because I was hired as a rhythm guitar player and a singer to replace someone who'd left, and Steve had a clear vision about what that band was about and what was supposed to be happening, and we recorded the two albums together, and it became, I think, more apparent than ever that Steve's views and goals became clear, and he carried on with it. He carried on after that time with a trio and went on to, you know, make several of his best-known records as a trio after that. And by the same token, it was clear that I had some things that I wanted to do as a writer and as a band leader and so forth. So I went off on my own.
I have never loved a lady, never touched a silk of knee, making baby crazy. You were so easy to me. Mm-hmm. me down in Georgia pine cones. Whisper to me through the trees. You're the one I always dream of. You're the only. Never see your face in sunlight. Moonlight sends you straight to me. You never even got my name right. You were so easy to me.
Title song to 1974's Slow Dancer clearly pointed the musical direction for where Boz Scaggs was heading. But there had been five albums before it, and until then, Scaggs was known mostly for a cover version of Loan Me a Dime with guitar solos by Duane Allman. Boz's next-door neighbor in San Francisco was Rolling Stone magazine founding editor Jan Wenner, which proved invaluable.
And as far as how difficult it was to get a solo, a record, a deal at that time. I don't know how it would compare to any other time, but having had those two records under my belt and having played in front of quite a lot of people and having somewhat of a reputation around San Francisco, being a big, small town, I think, and having a next door neighbor, which I had, who was instrumental in helping me make contacts in the record companies. So I'd say there was about 50-50 luck and some experience. Every once in a while, the doors open and you get a shot, and if you're ready for it when your time comes up, then off you go.
Dirty Lord down. so cold. It's dog eat dog, sister, surely get old. Got to have a Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down. Got you thinking like that, boy.
Boz Scaggs released his seventh album, Silk Degrees, in mid-February 1976, and the song Lowdown seemed in the air everywhere. It peaked at number 3 on the Billboard pop chart and eventually won a Grammy in 1977. But the album Silk Degrees was just getting started. I asked Boz Scaggs how many copies Silk Degrees sold.
I don't know. 5-6 million? Who knows? But it was a lot of records at that time, and it was a big, big change in my career. In some respects, I think if it had been my first or second record, it would have made perhaps more change than it did. It was my fourth or fifth record or something, and it made some change. It did, yeah. It's like Bob Dylan said up on Housing Project Hill. It's either fortune or fame. You may get one or the other, but neither are to be what they claim, and that takes on a larger meaning when you're in the middle of it. I don't know. There's a lot of adjustment to make. Your time ceases to become your own to a great extent. There are a lot of demands on your thoughts and on your time, and some people really respond to that and thrive on it. And it was great for me because, like I say, it wasn't my first or second album. This was my fifth or sixth album. I had worked really hard to get myself in a position to be able to keep making albums. And so I was just thankful for each one that came along.
Lazy.
And when Silk Degrees started to take off, it wasn't a meteoric rise. It was a slow build, and it was not unlike my career. So a little fire would catch hold here or there, and pretty soon there was a story developing on that album. And I had a band together. I was experienced on stage. I had, for the first time in my career, a manager who was very, very high-powered and efficient and able to run with a record. And we started working, and we just kept working, and the fires kept on building, and the record ended up being on the charts. I don't know how long, but we worked a lot, and it just went on and on, and the songs kept coming after, the hit after hit kept coming off that record, and we just kept going. And I think that had we not sort of had the stamina or the road work behind us, we may not have been able to continue or to pick it up so quickly. And one thing sustained another, and it was great. I can't say that there was any downside that had held a candle to the upside of that kind of success.
Son of a Tokyo rose, I was bound to wander from home, stranger to whatever I'd awaken to. Spun the wheel, took a shot in the dark, one-way ticket and runaway heart. Sailor's dream came true the night I dreamed of you. Through the neon doorways, down the stony streets I fell, all hands high side, all eyes a wreck I follow. Sailing shadows, reds and blues, curtains to you.
Well, you know, at the peak of my success in so-called, you know, high-powered career, which really ended up in about 80 to be a little more accurate, I had an album called Middleman, and we had JoJo and Breakdown Deadhead. I did a thing called Love Look What You've Done For Me for a movie soundtrack. So after that, you know, there, as I said, also there are a lot of demands on your time, and your time's not really your own in many ways. It's if once you've finished recording, it's time to do this. It's time to go on the road, or it's time to do these interviews or that tour. And you're a public figure, and as such, there are a lot of demands on what you've got to do, and you've got to sustain all the support people that support you, and it's like you can't quit. Only I was able to quit, and I didn't intend to stop it for so long, but I did. And you find that there's a whole lot else going on in life when you step outside of all these things that you think are routine and have to be done. Time becomes different. We all have real lives and real endeavors that we don't even know about, I think, unless we step outside. It's not uncommon in most professions that people, you know, take a sabbatical.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. Next stop, Chi-Town, Leo put the
Boz Skaggs from the February 1976 release Silk Degrees with the perennial showstopper Lido Shuffle, just another of the four hit singles that would spin off of the phenomenal album as it camped out for a mind-boggling 115 weeks on the Billboard album sales chart. Boz Skaggs would receive four more Grammy nominations, including Album of the Year for Silk Degrees. The musicians who played on the album became mucho in demand. Three of them, keyboard player arranger David Paich, drummer extraordinaire Jeff Porcaro, and bass player David Hungate, teamed up to form Toto. They did pretty well. And guitarist Fred Tackett joined Little Feat. At the time of Silk Degrees, Boz Skaggs was virtually the only white rhythm and blues man to transcend the growing gap between disco and rock from the mid-70s through the end of the decade. For instance, Rod Stewart released Do You Think I'm Sexy at the same time period and was crucified by the rock community for doing seemingly what Boz Skaggs had done on Silk Degrees. Yet Stewart was charged with treason by the rockers, a price for which he has paid dearly ever since, whereas Boz Skaggs merely got paid. So after successfully navigating the shoals in the pop mainstream, why did Boz Skaggs abandon ship for practically all of the 80s? Find out next from Boz Skaggs himself, here in the studio, on the 45th anniversary of Silk Degrees. Hey, we're back for the Boz Skaggs Anthology My Time in the studio. I'm Redbeard. The song Lowdown won a Grammy for 1976 R&B Song of the Year, while Skaggs released the album Down To Then Left, then recorded a separate song for the John Travolta follow-up to Saturday Night Fever, the Urban Cowboy sound track, highly touted. Here's Boz Skaggs.
Well, I had intended to take, as many people do, 6 months or a year away from the mainline gig, you know, and the time just passed, and the more I thought about sort of getting back on that that fast moving train again, the more I just sort of didn't want to do it again. And fortunately, I was able to choose whether I wanted to do it at the time or not, and other things were taking place in my life and taking the place of that make a record, go on the road, make a record, go on the road syndrome that a lot of us get into. And I think I just followed my musical instincts and did what came naturally. I did what I had to do and what I wanted to do at that time. I've never stopped playing music. It's always meant to me the ability to pick up an instrument and play a few chords and play the songs and sing the songs I want to sing. I have been doing music throughout that time. It's just that I didn't choose to do it in public. I wrote, I have raised a family, and I've taken care of a lot of things that I wanted to do. In the meantime, I've traveled, I've had some unique music experiences along the way, and then it was time to throw my hat in the ring again, and here I am.
Baby, when you came my way, thought I'd find
A highlight every night on the Donald Fagen New York Rock and Soul Review back in 1991. That's Boz Scaggs with the Joe Simon cover of Drowning in the Sea of Love. When that song was originally a hit, Boz Scaggs could have been found washing dishes and chopping food in the kitchen of London restaurants for minimum wage. At the time of that live performance, Boz Scaggs owned several fine dining restaurants and nightclubs in the San Francisco Bay Area and later Dallas.
Really didn't have a whole lot of music in me when I quit. I didn't have time to play guitar or play piano or think about music. I had time to take care of the demands of my career, but I sort of let the music slip out of my head and get away. It wasn't a part of me. And it took a while for it to come back. I think in some ways, maybe you betray your muse sometimes by not heeding it and not taking care of it. And I think that happened to me to some extent. I didn't, call it writer's block or call it just, I was empty in some ways. I sort of was doing other things. So going back on my own is sort of like letting the soil go untilled for a while. I think you restore yourself, and not to get too, rippy-dippy about it, but, things come back to you if you just rest and let those instincts return to you.
I did my best, the perfect guest knew when to go. Perfect, you knew when to stay. Come tell me that you're lonely, dear. I've been feeling down some too. After all this time now, ain't it clear? I've been waiting just for you.
Buddy, From Boz Skaggs' 1976 Greek Theater Show in L.A. in August 1976, that's What Can I Say?, originally found on Silk Degrees. That live version is a bonus track on the remastered Expanded Edition. I'm Redbeard. And for the In the Studio Online crowd, here's a special treat. Boz Skaggs with me live acoustic from his Dallas hometown back in 1997.
Yeah, we've been playing one. Kevin and I have been fiddling with one, and we'd be glad to play it. Baby's out running round, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street and talking out loud, saying you bought her this and that, how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent. Hey boy, you better bring the woman round to the sad old truth, the dirty low down. Taught her how to talk like that, boy. Gave her that big idea, yeah. Nothing you can't handle, nothing you ain't got. Put your money on the table and drive it off the lot. Turn on that old love light, turn a maybe to a yes. Same old schoolboy game got you into this mess, yeah. You better come on back around to the sad old truth, the dirty low down. Ooh, I wonder, 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 wonder who put those ideas in a head, boy. Wonder, 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 give it that big idea. So bad, ain't got to be so cold. This dog-eat-dog existence sure is getting old. You gotta have a Jones for this, Jones for that. Running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at, no. You better come on back to town to the sad, sad truth, the dirty Lord down, down, down. Got her thinking like that, boy, boy. I wonder, 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 wonder. Ooh. Oh, look out for that lowdown. I wonder, 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 wonder. That dirty, dirty, dirty low, low down. Ooh. I wonder, 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 wonder. Ooh. Who put those ideas in her head, boy? Better come on back down to Big D, Jack, before it all gets away, gets away, gets away. I wonder, 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 wonder who. Now, don't you know?
Oh, it's just superb.
This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Boz Skaggs. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2021, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.